Everything looks good back here. Okay. Let's take it away. Okay.
So, the three of you, let's see, myself and Marika, who's not here, and occasionally Melissa, will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So, this is the second pass transcriptions we're receiving, and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So, so you can start checking by, well, you know, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like, say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those. And so you could just hit...
Well, hi, everyone again.
And then...
like before, we...
like that. And then go back and check the silence regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day. It doesn't, as long as it gets done. So
we're checking what's actually been transcribed already, as well as the silences.
Yeah, you're doing it. So that's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent region, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing was lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Exactly. And so that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu, you can do a search for find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to any that the first transcriber might have marked out, so there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together. And likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks. And like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's... I would, if you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think it was said. If you think that
there's a chance,
maybe a 30% chance you're wrong, or
more.
It's usually a context problem.
Yeah.
I think sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that will fit the context, or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one. Listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that. And then you should have the context from all four speakers. And then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be? I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
So if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream, then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. Think of it from a speech recognition point of view, again, and always this should be, this should motivate you. Yeah, what is most robust for speech recognition, and leave out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment. Just
so you're well geared towards this task.
When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yes. actually, I did quite well in SP1. It was worse than SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We had two new teachers for SP2.
Okay.
And I'll ask you later on, like, so let me know.
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So this person didn't know about capitalization. So just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and needs end punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's sort of pause in the middle of a sentence that's long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue into the next segment, and
so
that's typically fine.
That's actually the only case that you don't. You're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence for a previous sentence is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
But you only use a hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anymore.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've never heard this wrong. I'll
review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out or mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an outbreath. Or possibly in breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in breaths or out breaths.
Okay.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to reuse the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh, this is the headset. Mike, I heard something there. It was a
pretty voice.
Yeah, it was pretty. So
it's really connected to the word.
Sometimes you don't know
whether it's Mike's voice or the person
speaking.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was.
And so here we go.
Hello.
Hello. like before we I have to reuse the meetings from when the mid
Yeah, this is actually quite a bit more in there than from
but before this is
So I heard a creaky voice and it was audible on the level of the rest of the speech, so I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was saying. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here that didn't get caught.
Meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common in the transcriptions I've looked at. Missed false starts, missed.
And how exact you have to be there, because some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right. I think syllables should be accounted for.
Because sometimes they go, and then you're not
Yeah, well, don't let it drive you crazy, because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate for us. It's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to drive the money somewhere. But if it's, say, four repeated, the word is repeated. Then that's not too hard to count. I haven't come across anything exceeding 4.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were, the whole word were being used 4
mm-hmm.
times,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe 1 or 1.5 phones,
uh-huh.
and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether 1 is a long duration of 1 or whether it's actually 2.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I think it was worth starting with D, and the person was going da 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 da.
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it for German. I would say.
And sometimes with the D's, you're thinking, are you anticipating a D, or are you trying to say the, and you're just saying the.
Right.
The.
Well, there again, think about robustness in the speech recognition,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment. Who cares?
Well,
you're marking it as a fragment, and that's
yeah.
what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say doesn't really actually sound at all, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically, or do you approach a star after every single one word?
I wouldn't be using the star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what
star
I thought they're not supposed to do it, but there's one I'm transcribing right now, a whole batch of dialogues where all 4 participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think is Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all. Because I'm Eastern European, and but if you would just play it, I think, to recognize it, then what he says, the way he realizes words sounds
mm-hmm.
nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. And for that matter, a lot of native English speakers'
yeah.
realizations it could
yeah.
be so true too.
I try to take consistency. They always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah, yeah.
If it comes out and like one word is.
No, it's less of a stress. It's really like, I don't know, just the phonemes sounding differently.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother to mark all of those instances.
Well, you can't really.
No. You better find that for any speaker. Realizing these things, and it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's a guy who says project instead of product, and it's something like project,
yeah.
and it's probably just his pronunciation.
Oh, I think I've
tried
project.
Yeah. They're really handling that product, so I mark that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And when that will say evolution each time.
Oh, evaluation. I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always describe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good. That's good.
Well, we have a lecture that can, I can never quite tell if you say problem or program.
Program.
And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to it.
I can't tell. All right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just,
I think you just do your best and hope for the best.
Yeah. Okay, so. What's my name, Paul?
That'll give some transcriber a headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both headsets and lapel transcribers, so not too bad.
Oops. I won't be transcribing it. Right here.
Yeah, let's have Mark transcribing.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filler pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to because you're so used to tuning them out. You know, so even when I go back over, I normally can, like, go back to the beginning and do a quick pass of the main sections again and think, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch.
Sorry, I'm
all
just seeing this with the TV. There's
yeah.
T underscore V underscore. I thought we're just supposed to use the underscore between.
No,
letters.
No.
No?
That's what I thought the first.
Okay,
thing
sorry,
was.
Then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know, you standardized on the fill pause of the R. Do we need to go through and change ones that people did differently? Like if like wherever an ER change all to UH.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point the only file that's been checked is Melissa, one that Melissa did, and that's been checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these and changes like that that were just announced. We'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM from we've changed that to the regularized version. And we just, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted choice. Here's
so if they pause just where you've got it highlighted at the moment, that will, the hyphen.
That.
So I have to redo the meetings for the minutes from the last meeting. Was that like a real definite, I'm starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like you carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there. Is
I
there any
hesitation?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily restarting a sentence.
I think of it in terms of, not even maybe to, well, in fact, if you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S node, but it's just, it might go back to the last
just
one.
Just one to the next node. That was if somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S
well,
node.
It's just my way of knowing, sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's so that answers your question.
So
about, that answers
yes,
your question.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Okay. Here's where I heard another duh sound, another false start, or stutter, I would say.
On this new remote. And it's the same message, of course, to the TV. It should have nine channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, subtitle buttons. Switch to control features, color contrast, sharpness, etc.
Okay.
different image, but his name. Strengthening her favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in this.
Okay, and there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the D, and that's fine.
What's the C? Is that
she would like C. She
definitely be integrated in this. In this new remote.
Where are you putting that etc? Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes, she's so she spelled it well. Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because of spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just said spelling.
I thought it would be like
Sorry.
But is that in Latin like etc? Like et al?
Like 80s.
No, no, like at, you know, when you have a citation and you say et al means and others et al. Etc. means and following. So,
in the dictionary,
yeah,
it's one word.
Oh, in the
dictionary.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about spellings, I think I might send an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So, as far as I know, this is just missing an E, cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an Emacs file and run a spell check on it, but I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with hyphens, then the spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent and just click okay, you know,
and
then you might miss a real error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, the C.
Okay, so.
To be integrated in, she would like to see.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was going to form of rather than saying she would like to see
right,
something.
Right. Yeah, I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C
is
an actual
full
word, shouldn't there be a space between C and
a space between
to be.
She would like
to
see. She would like C.
After the, no, the C and the hyphen should not be expected.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. That was what you were thinking about. Okay. There we go. Let me say that. Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So.
The color shaped buttons. She presented also an oversized remote, which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood. Mm-hmm. So.
But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes we really don't know whether it's saying wood.
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical transcript or
no? You try to keep it as true.
But if it's really absolutely not clear,
then you
when they say what instead, you know, some people when they just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just bend from scratch?
I have to hear it
because
it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and type what you think they should have said. But I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
I'm sure the capitalizing.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking,
Okay.
so just too many. But
should it? Could we lose? It's continuing from one second.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
you're right. You're right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
There will be a yes and then
What's
that?
that?
Okay.
But a very personal.
So another missed false start.
Favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There was creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I play butts after la like words after laughter, I think, and capitalize because I'm not really sure if the sin if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
And it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter. I wouldn't worry
Okay,
about
so what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front? Or what I when that happens, what I do is I put laughter in front and the whole sentence with laughter in, at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, yeah, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to. Oh.
There's some people laughing themselves silly at absolutely nothing.
Okay, so laughter during speech. I'll talk to Melissa
Because in
and
the ICSI dialogues, they only say, while laughing, and we don't do that. So they say either, so there it's really not ambiguous whether it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing. There is a distinction there, and we don't have that.
No, we don't have any qual tense these, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I come across that as well. Let's see.
Your speech recognizer integrated in this remote. The industrial designer up.
Yeah, I don't know what that noise was indicating. We can skip on. Other types of things we picked out. Let's see.
And how it would work, so you press the button, the chip is Morse code related, relays the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build. And so she thinks this is a great feature to consider.
So cute.
Forget if she's a person that calls circuit so cute. Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I'm not sure.
So
She
would
did.
you have been tempted to
Just
put an asterisk after
if it's her, I just
circuit
caught the end of
board?
it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So I had one person who said so cute.
Oh, okay.
But then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk is something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and
No,
evolution.
not
No?
necessarily. No,
Okay.
it's just something that the speech recognizer is liable to trip up on, I
Yeah.
think.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-native speakers make, to say so cute
That may be, but I probably would flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound
instead
is. It's gonna be your call in a lot of these
Something
cases.
like if I took that one because it was, well, the language teacher would allow that to my move on to the next day, and that wouldn't let that pass. Sort of.
Okay,
Or I
here.
would need something that I'd point out to them.
Here's a case of where I found it, found a case of discontinuity.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
But, because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know. Maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her. If you know what I mean. Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe she
Yeah, because otherwise you could end up putting a hyphen after every pronunciation mark that you have.
So again, I don't know. That was my reflex at the time to put that there, but.
Just a prosodic marker rather than an actual full hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole like back channel.
Simple chip. She would like this whole thing should be pushed buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm going to skip the rest of the sentence.
Yeah,
push buttons
calling.
Support.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've tried the rest too.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, let's see.
Should be battery operated, and of course, she has a special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able
well,
to.
Well, she would or should as
well.
Okay.
Yes, it can be a lot of things.
Marketing expert who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there wasn't a space between a non-word fragment. And a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Marika asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases? I don't.
I haven't done.
I don't know.
I think it's just too silly.
Yeah.
It's not linguistic.
Well, not. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, you know, a laughter is consisting entirely of laughter, and then putting like punctuation, like
I was going to have fun transcribing
that. If you start this conversation in common room, right? Just laughter linguistic, then they could come up with a
I'm trying to interpret my note here. Delete the class of sentence and sentence.
Okay, there just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
What I really like.
Yeah, because it wasn't really just sounds and nasty.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play in surrounding segments. So there's nothing there worth transcribing.
Just notice the random yes that we have in the hyphen before because of. Swell up a little way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that second one at the top. I think I'm going to have to go back and find the places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, yeah, and then this, but I've not had, I need to go back and find.
So you haven't put hyphen and hyphen?
I
see.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas.
Commas?
Yeah. For that
or
no, situation?
Absolutely, just sort it out.
Actually, well, I've, a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine. And
yeah,
they're
okay.
Eventually they're going to be extracted
right. Globally,
so it doesn't matter.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, we can just wipe them out.
Okay.
So yeah, I get quite prolific with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve Reynolds, who's the project manager, had a look at, I think it's my choice. Oh, this commas doing anything. He didn't, ultimately, he said it wasn't fine.
Okay, cool.
They will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective and something
yeah.
that. Use a transcribed over here.
Just to make sense of sentence.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I really like using commas.
I read somebody's PhD proposals yesterday and like, well, you could have a comma in here and there.
What is cutest spelling?
Oh, she spelled cutest with an I, so
oh, okay.
That's just something I pointed out. Okay, what else? So here's, let's see, and then this was
evaluation criteria. We
So she typed hour, and I didn't quite hear that, but.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been. I
Well,
don't
if
know.
you were Cockney, then.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
Yeah, I don't.
Sometimes you get like you're not sure if it's an A, yeah, or not.
Right, and you can never know, but if it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
yeah,
you might as well.
So which did you just?
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, no, this was an evaluation criteria, which.
But
evaluate.
No, it's tricky. It's ambiguous. I don't know. Oh, she's.
Well, there's a production email.
I think there's a well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset and the channel, may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with a dodgy headphone where dodgy something where most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh god.
And you transcribed that speaker entirely?
Yes.
if that comes
yeah,
up again,
we've got headset mic files now. In fact, they replaced all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently the headset mic files are just a bit louder, so
right.
Probably find yourself turning the volume down considerably, but apparently other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve the.
Yeah, some people, it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. Like this one, in one of the first dialogues that they got called Ed, you could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being, at some point, just black silence. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when you speak too close to the microphone.
I think there's people that say, is this on the mic? Hit it a few times.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these because I think I've gotten through most of the types that I need to point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody and you think, who? The spell their name.
Right.
You know the right name.
Right. What are you going to do instead?
So?
Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent, and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr.
Ed.
Ed.
And to be, and then find out that it was actually Mr. Ed. No, but that it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed.
I did see, I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that
right.
And see
yeah.
How we can help.
But don't you guys have this data?
What?
Know the people's names, like when you
collect yeah,
data?
Yeah, quite possibly. It's coming from IDIAP in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one of those that, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows this information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we have to be able to get
we
that.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is or how it might be spelled at all and flagging that and something. So I'll try to address both of these.
What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to
Mr.
Mr.
Oh, just type Mr. for
M-I-S.
Yeah, and same with Mrs. M-I-S-S.
U.S.?
Sorry. Check the dictionary. Yeah, you never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls himself Ms.?
I'm sure there's a spelling OD,
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking if we come up with something?
Oh, right, so the transcriber is enclosing everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And what you would do is.
Oh, it was French, so I knew how to.
That's a good question, because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots, and I know it's foreign, does that matter?
it shouldn't, because things are going to be left like the asterisk will be left for the
process,
the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an app between the carrots?
Yeah.
It's intelligible.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what the word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you if it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have there's one dialogue where I think two speakers are French, like one is definitely French, and I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying to her, and she goes, "Come on," then you know that.
So yeah. If you're confident, get a fair grasp on French, for example. Why not
accidentally
translating in the process? Yeah. Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
O, capital O, capital K, and a huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay just as O,
okay,
not as an okay A Y.
It is okay A Y.
A Y O Y.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job. Catch all of these things. So no transcriber will be checking. No checker will be checking their own transcription.
Yes.
So
transcriber will be.
We will catch these things. More efficiently, I think. And I'll just go for the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
Oh yeah, because every time somebody be going over there, you hear all the sound.
I can hear the chairs moving in and
about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way there. Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the microwave, can one more time. I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So, okay.
The whiteboard marker and the camera as well.
Quite some busy.
Right. This is a list of things to do as a check. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And, oh, by the way, this should be transcribed any missed speech. And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments, you want to listen or look for missed. Look for missed punctuation, filled pauses, words in stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just so if somebody says the, then it's just the. Words in and false starts. Short words, make sure the words like the and the articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. So
those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription. Seems so silly. Missed transcription, so make sure the speaker said will, you type will, not would, or if they say we, you know, it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That cases of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was so ready to apostrophe. And look for capitalization. I'm not going to. I'm going to do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regular spellings and things like fill clauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, when it's just a K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
Well, apostrophe and then K.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Yeah.
I think
Marty smells really bad.
I think it smells really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to almost like to smell really
bad. Please
wait.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of discontinuity. But not in stuttering, like I said. and don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued in the next segment of don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths. And okay should never be too capital letters. It should be okay AY. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any.
Over a minute.
That's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have it, right?
Yeah. Really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But you know, use these waveforms to help you. And you can adjust the resolution so that that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
Click on one of the arrows.
Which
the arrows by the
resolution.
It will, this one?
Yeah.
Not that one. The other one next to it.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So
Oh, and you can also, if you go to signal and something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well, on resolution.
Okay, right.
And then you can also, if you go to control panel, signal control panel, signal control panel, the vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat for you,
That's good.
All right. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform, so I had to find where everything was.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah. So to help you make cuts, just look, use this waveform. Make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help. Ultimately, I think, post-processing wise.
I think I've gone a bit far in cutting my band at the moment.
Yeah, don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time. But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. These segments being whatever length they need to be. I've seen other people's transcription guidelines for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere, indicate that it really doesn't matter. The point is just to get everything manageable.
Mm-hmm.
Easy
to checking it rather than having to listen to a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting me down. But hopefully, that will be done during the first class because that's making the teacher's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the cases of ambiguity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same
page.
The same page, just further down, scroll down, you see the files. And I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked at the moment.
So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for first pass, so it's important that we do this second pass. And I've indicated in a column whether something is priority.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's high priority. So those would be the ones you focus on first, obviously. And then you don't want to change the file name in any way. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CBS sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I don't know about. I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this.
Right, but it'll be similar. But they're creating a guy Jonathan is creating a web form.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do this all very
yeah.
simply, just upload everything that you upload the file that you've transcribed,
okay.
And you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files from the first pass?
Yeah, you'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder. Files to be checked or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then within that create subfolders for the given name.
Yeah.
And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, from the NMM server on your own, because the AMI server is not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the NMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting yours.
Okay.
And then you'll just you'll copy that over. You don't move it over, because you're gonna have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we were doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think you'll also be indicating that as well.
But if you can make the question.
Uh-huh.
Originally, when we first applied, saying yes, we actually did it, it said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than, which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6, what is it? Is it 3 months?
I've been a 3 month contract.
Yeah. The 3 month contract, and now if you can't keep that, that's fine. But
okay.
It's just a logistic thing with personnel,
right.
Where we have, that was the minimum we wanted
okay.
to offer a contract. So if you have to bow out, let us know as soon as you know
right.
when you
get to the holidays and
yeah. Obviously,
and
those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
and things we'll have to work around, but
yeah.
It's just one of those. Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to?
I should think so. I mean, the whole point of keeping, well, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer with the other person, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
The whole point of having regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer
yeah,
questions.
Sure.
Can you start, please?
Yes.
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during all hours if you want to.
And if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I think you'd
have
it.
Yeah, I don't see why not. My son should Instead of our I think you'll all be paid. I'm having substance tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because I need to make sure I'm sending in the right form.
Okay.
But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information. But it was about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies of degree certificates to give you for your files if I'm going to be here.
I think
one place it said people's copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A-level like examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems with that, seek help in these things. I mean, if it's
like
for this job and
mm-hmm.
getting paid,
yeah,
that's not necessary.
Carolyn is
necessary. But also, if pay is a matter, as many of you haven't gotten paid for some reason, I hope that's it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February,
mm-hmm.
but I started mid January.
Talk to Kevin.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be.
I'm here full time now, so I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I live at 4 now, so
mm-hmm.
I won't find me in
time. Is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah. Oh, so it is your baby then.
Yes.
One assumes this.
How old?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh,
that's very lovely.
Yeah,
that's the question I was just going to ask.
Yeah, well, only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was just telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah.
The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Okay,
no, we're
good. I was telling Melissa
that. Oh, so we have to pick up everything again when we finish this.
Oh, just saying that you've